Hi, welcome to Claim Edge, your resource for litigated claims management and resolution. I'm Jim Chapman, your host, and today on the podcast, we'll be discussing the workflow. The last 35 years, I've been an insurance defense litigator. I've worked with many large carriers like AIG, Berkley, Chubb, CNA, Travelers, all the way down to Zurich, as well as assignments from the Lloyd's market and a lot of smaller U.S. carriers. I have to say it's been a tremendous journey, filled with lots of fascinating cases. You know, there are so many insurance tech podcasts today that focus on new products, digital distribution, and improving customer experience. We decided to do one on really difficult claims. You know, the ones that end up in litigation. My favorite. If you handle litigated claims, this is the podcast for you. This is our first of a series of six podcasts focused on helping property and casualty carriers assess their practices for litigated claims and decide where technology and other approaches can help them work smarter. This involves workflow improvements, things like data collection and using that data to guide future decision-making. As we like to say at Claim Edge, it's good to think about what will save you time for what matters. Now, some people think of claims as the back end of insurance, but people in claims know that it's really the front end. It's where you protect your insurance customers. I'd like to start with a little of my own story with liability insurance. Before I ever did any legal work for insurance companies, I was in the Army. So naturally, my insurance company was USAA. They seemed to have a lock on that market. And it continued even after I left the service. I remember during a big windstorm, a large branch from one of the trees in my yard fell on my neighbor's house. I'll call him Carl. Well, Carl showed me the damage the next day and asked me to contact USAA. And that's how I learned what FNOL was. So USAA sent out a field adjuster, and then a few weeks later, surprisingly, denied his claim. I have to tell you, Carl was not happy, and he eventually sued me in small claims court over it. Now, knowing what I know today, it might have actually been a subrogation claim by his own insurance carrier, but I remember USAA hired a lawyer and eventually settled it without going to court. So I'd have to say, in one sense, USAA protected me by settling that claim, but it probably cost them more having to hire a lawyer for me in the first place. Now, a few years later, I started working for insurance companies, mostly providing policyholder defense along with some coverage work. And that was back in the 1980s, before email, before the internet, and before podcasts. We used to mail our reports back then, you know, with envelopes and stamps. Later, we started faxing reports, and eventually began emailing them. I can remember we used to have file storage rooms filled with shelves and shelves of expandable folders, and now we have electronic document management systems. I remember I used to leave telephone messages with receptionists, and now we leave voicemail messages once we figure out what button to press to find the right person to leave it with. Legal bills also used to be mailed, and now they're submitted online. I used to spend a lot of time writing, you know, with real paper and pen. I was a terrible typist. Back then, we had an assistant that did the typing and the filing. Insurance carriers weren't going to pay me to spend my time typing. Fast forward to today, everyone is hunched over a keyboard, alternating between typing and clicking a mouse, all while staring at a screen. That's right. Today, lawyers are paid to type, and claims professionals are paid to function like file clerks, saving and filing all those emails and attachments. Technology feels like it made the litigated claims process harder when it was supposed to make it easier. What happened? Well, my take, for starters, is that the workflow of claims litigation remains very old school. Even though 95% of all claim lawsuits are settled, lawyers still defend every case if it's going to go to trial. You know, complaint, answer, written discovery, subpoenas, document productions, witness depositions, expert reports, motions practice, and then at the end, followed by settlement, usually during or maybe right after a mediation. These are all really time-consuming workflows that result in many, many hours defending the case. Remember, I had a case about 20 years ago defending a company against a suit by a janitor claiming he was injured by a defective floor buffer. He came to work one day, and the floor buffer wasn't working, he said. He pulled the start switch over and over and over, but it wouldn't start. You know, click, 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 nothing happened. Well, the final time he pulled the switch, he said it roared to life, and it totally surprised him, yanked him off balance, and he herniated a disc in his low back, which eventually turned into a lawsuit against my client. Now, it was a full-on defense. I can remember we hired buffer experts, electronics experts, medical experts. The plaintiff's counsel even did a site visit with a buffer inspection, which included a reenactment ordered by the court. We videotaped the entire thing. I still have memories of that whole experience. If I wasn't on this podcast, I'd tell you some funny stories about the video. Well, we eventually moved for summary judgment, and then, like 95% of all cases, we settled it before the court ever ruled on the motion. I remember in that entire, almost three-year-long case, I wrote like five reports, all put in the mail, and I had a few dozen telephone calls during that same period of time with the adjuster. Now, compare that to how a case like that would be handled today. In addition to literally the same legal work that would have been done over several years, there would have been a dozen reports, you know, one every 90 days in accordance with the guidelines, along with several hundred emails and only a handful of telephone calls with the adjuster. So the legal workflow hasn't changed, but I can tell you the information management around it really has. Recently, I've talked to many chief claim officers about their biggest challenges. And I have to tell you, controlling legal expense and paid indemnity in lawsuits are right up at the top of the list. That's especially true for commercial lines, and it's becoming so even for personal lines claims. As one of them said to me, lawsuits are always trouble, Jim. Despite that, very few property and casualty carriers have actually evaluated their litigation workflows to determine where improvements can be made. Other than implementing billing guidelines and electronic bill review, few have pursued strategies or technologies to materially improve their operating results. But I'll share a couple that I've heard about from some forward-thinking carriers and attorneys. One is I call the short cycle method. And this is a method where you actually agree at the outset with the plaintiff's attorney to complete everything within a very brief period of time. That is, get all your written discovery done without any motions practice, depose only the plaintiff and the defendant, and then take it to a mediation, all within, you know, 6 months, maybe 9 months of filing the lawsuit. We all know earlier settlements certainly promote certainty. They always reduce legal fees and your expert costs. And plus, lawsuits that are settled earlier keep your insured happier. And the best part of this approach is you don't need any fancy technology to do it. You do have to hire the right defense counsel to make it work, and you have to work fairly with plaintiff's counsel. You might consider trying it in a particular line of business, you know, employment practices or something like that, just to get started. But it is a great way of speeding up the resolution process, reducing legal cost. Another method, I'll call it the template method. This one's really all about better information management by using templates for case reporting, budgeting, and things like that. It ensures that your defense counsel are actually providing you exactly the information you need to evaluate the case and make sure it's on track with your planned resolution strategy. Some carriers have also implemented calendaring tools so that defense counsel are aware of upcoming like reporting deadlines. And if you do this using a cloud platform, it makes it very easy to incorporate all of this digital data into your own data warehouse for use by your data science team. Another method, and this really falls on attorneys, I call the proactive method. And the attorneys that do this are really doing it to differentiate themselves in the market, provide great customer service to the carrier. So instead of case reports that say things like, oh man, it's too early to tell on the liability issue, or don't have enough information yet to evaluate the plaintiff's claim of damages. These attorneys really do a deep dive right from the very outset of the case, that initial case assessment, and tell it like it is, with the goal of getting earlier settlements in those, you guessed it, 95% of cases that settle. And it allows them to focus their attention on the ones that had the highest likelihood of trial, and for their carrier customers to invest their resources in those efforts. You know, back when I was practicing law, I often thought about tools that could help defense counsel be more effective in defending these cases. And there's certainly some developing technologies that hold promise for automating legal tasks, things like document review, brief writing, identifying key testimony from the deposition transcripts. And I'll look more closely in the future podcast at those. As a side note, I should mention that we do have a few litigation budgeting tools on our website, which you can check out at www.claimedge.co. More fundamentally, providing effective legal services to insurance carriers requires moving away from the mindset that every case is going to go to trial. Attorneys need to keep in mind that carriers depend on them for strategic legal guidance to achieve the best outcome for their policyholder. And as I've said, in 95% of the cases, that involves settlement, not trial. So the sooner and less expensively you can deliver that result, I guarantee you the more legal work you will be assigned as preferred defense counsel. It's always best if that guidance is provided early in the litigation so that resources can be allocated appropriately. If any of our listeners want to share their own strategies or experiences, please leave a comment in the podcast notes or DM me on LinkedIn. I'll look forward to sharing them in a future episode. So thanks for listening today. If you liked our podcast, please leave a review and share it with your colleagues and friends. Until next time, this is Jim Chapman on the Claim Edge podcast, signing off.